One of the most outstanding human characters in the whole Bible is a man called Moses. He wrought altogether 42 miracles, but the first three are the most instructive. For 40 years, Moses was in exile, attending to the sheep of his father-in-law in the wilderness of Arabia. His years from the age of 40 went past in an uneventful spell of minding sheep. His place of minding these sheep was the desert, the dry, sun-burnt desert. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, he dwelt in the sun-burnt passage of the great desert expanse. I wonder what his thoughts were. I wonder what kept him from not losing hope. I wonder how he was baptized with the blessed heavenly stickability he had. I believe it must have been the thought of his own birth in the slavery and his upbringing in Egypt, and the memory of that strange deliverance as a baby child from the drowning waters of the great River Nile. It must have been the fire of his mother's faith. How true it was. The Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews at chapter 11 tells us, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commands. One day, as Moses shepherded his father-in-law's flocks, he saw a mysterious sight. He saw a burning bush, burning in flames, but not one flame consumed any of the wood of the bush. The bush burned, but was not consumed. This attracted Moses. He turned aside to see the wondrous sight. But instead of coming face to face with fire, he came face to face with God. But Moses, after all the testing of almost 80 years of age, he had lost faith. He came, alas, before God in a state of very little faith. No matter what God said, Moses' unbelief prevailed. Only a miracle of God could turn his faltering faith into great faith, and a great faith immovable in and with God himself. The words which Moses spoke were faithless words, and Moses answered and said, "Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." The first encounter of God with Moses took place in the atmosphere of three special miracles. The Lord said to Moses, "What is that in thy hand?" He said, "It's my shepherd's crook, my staff." He said, "Cast it on the ground." And Moses did so. But as that rod hit the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it in terror. Then the Lord said, "Put forth thy hand. Take the serpent by the tail." And when he did, it became a rod again in his hand. And God said, "I've done this so that you will repeat it in Egypt, and the Israelites will believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has really appeared unto thee." The first miracle was that the rod made a serpent. The second miracle was his hand that was made leprous. And he was told to put his hand into his bosom, and it became white, leprous as snow. And then he was told to put his hand back in his bosom, and when he did so, it was turned again as his other flesh. Notice the first commandment was the staff becoming a serpent. And then it was reversed, and the serpent became a staff. Notice this second one, and you will notice that his hand was made leprous, and then there was the reversal of that. It became again a healthy hand. But the third miracle is entirely different. Of course, the third miracle was not exercised at that time by Moses. But he was told when he went down into Egypt, he should go to the river. And if the people did not believe in him, he should take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry ground. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry ground. Now that miracle was never carried out. For if you believe and read, you will find that they did believe in him when he did the second miracle. So he didn't need to do the third miracle. And notice, there was no reversal in the third miracle. The third miracle, what was it? You have to put the water out of the river and the dry ground will be his blood. But he didn't say, you will then take the water and put it back into the river and it will become water. We have here a threefold cord of eternal strength uncovered and discovered in this passage of Scripture. Let me take the first miracle. The rod becomes a serpent. It's a type of the conquering of the cross. What a picture is this? Behold the shepherd with his shepherd's crook in his hand. What is this in thy hand? Is the interrogation of God. Moses the shepherd replies, a rod, a shepherd's staff. God commands it to be cast on the ground. Moses obeys and the rod became a serpent. And Moses flies before it. The Lord tells Moses to pick it up by its tail. Moses obeys, and the serpent became a rod again in his hand. Here we have the mystery of the gospel. The rod becoming a serpent. The serpent becoming a rod again. Note the complete reversal. The rod a serpent. The serpent a rod again. This is a perfect picture of the cross work of our Lord Jesus. I behold the shepherd's rod, a plain stick of Moses' everyday work as a keeper and as a defender and a carer of his father-in-law's flock. That stick was to be cast upon the ground. So Christ, by his death upon the cross, had to be cast down. As a result, the stick became a serpent, a different picture altogether. In Philippians chapter 2, 5 and 8, we read, "Let this mind be in you, that is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." It is most interesting, is it not, that when Christ referred to Moses, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." What? A serpent and a pole? Yes, in order to be the Savior, Christ had to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin in the flesh. The serpent lifted up could life and healing give. So Jesus on the cross bids me to look and live. For whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive. Shall everlasting life receive. Christ trampled Satan and my sin down and crushed them triumphantly in his glorious cross. He bruised the serpent's head and destroyed sin in the flesh. Mark well the conquest of Satan in this first miracle of Moses' gospel mysteries. The serpent downed Eve and Adam at the tree of paradise, but Christ has downed the serpent at the old tree of the cross. As when the Hebrew prophet raised the brazen serpent high, the wounded look and straight were cured, the people ceased to die, so from the Savior on the cross, a healing virtue flows. Who looks to him with lively faith is saved from endless foes. For God gave up his Son to death, so generous was his love, that all the faithful might enjoy eternal life above. Not to condemn the sons of men, the Son of God appeared. No weapons in his hand are seen, nor voice of terror heard. The great shepherd of the sheep, by the rod of the cross, breaks the serpent's head. He himself handles and defeats Satan. He shall bruise his head. Has been gloriously fulfilled. And I would remind you that when Moses did this miracle in Egypt, the magicians cast down their rods and they became serpents But the serpent from the rod of Moses swallowed them all up. Because Jesus Christ triumphs over every serpent in the world and brings complete deliverance to all his people. But let me turn to the second miracle. The leprous hand healed again. If the first miracle taught the subjection of the serpent, the second miracle teaches salvation from sin. Here we come to the second miracle in the doctrine of the glorious gospel of Christ. The first miracle, a rod made a serpent, and then its reverse. The second miracle, a hand made leprous, and then its reverse. In the developing of the law of cleansing from leprosy as a type of sin, we have a wonderful revelation of the cleansing of sin by divine redemption in the sinner's heart. The Bible has much to say in the book of Leviticus of the cleansing from leprosy. There's a whole item in that book about leprosy in man and how it can be cured. And then there's another passage that deals with leprosy in the house in which a man lives and how can it be cured. And then last of all, there is the record of how leprosy in the fabric, in the garments that men wear, how they can be cleansed, that leprosy can be cleansed. I suggest to you that sin attacks, first of all, the individual. Sin attacks where the individual lives. Sin attacks what the person wears. Those are the three types of sin dealt with in the picture of the leper. But all of them can be cleansed by the power of the Savior. So if you have leprosy in your heart today, you can be healed. If you have leprosy in your home today, you can be healed. If you have leprosy in your garment, you can be healed. But let me come now briefly to this last miracle. What was it? The miracle that never was done. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry ground. Note God's special work. Here was the final demonstration of God's eternal judgment. This was God's ultimatum to sinful Egypt. This was the marking of Pharaoh's unpardonable sin. This final miracle was the sealing of Egyptians' doom. The other two miracles finished with a return, a complete reversal, a return to the original. The shepherd came back, or the serpent came back to be a staff. The leprous hand came back to be a healthy hand. But the third miracle had no reverse. There are some words here. You'll find them in the margin of your authorized version of Scripture. And this word, as Matthew Paul, the great Bible commentator, points out, the words that are used here are emphasized twice. The water taken shall become blood. And in the original Hebrew, it is said twice, shall become blood. never be changed back again. They shall become blood. Judgment. Unchangeable judgment. Final judgment is a perpetual curse. There can be no watering down of the sentence of God on sin. There is an unpardonable sin. What is it? It's saying no to God the Holy Spirit once too often. Then the bars of opportunity are slammed, never to be reopened. And your lost soul is shut up in time for all eternity in the blackness of darkness forever. From this condition, there is no escape. There is no reversal. The soul is lost forever and ever. Oh, sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice, be in time. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Write it upon our hearts. May none of us play with our sins and mock Thee, but may each one of us confess our sins, and Thou wilt then be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May no soul leave this house of God without the cleansing power of the Savior's blood upon their hearts for His great name's sake. And everybody said, Amen.